Good morning.
Have you with us today? Good to be here today.
Yes.
On or off? I'm on. I mean, I'm off, but the mic's on. Book of Hebrews, please. Chapter 10. We're in a series on the church. We talked about why is the church important. We talked about the distinctives of the church, the structure or organization of the church. Our fourth message began three messages on our service, the church and its service. And we mentioned last week that the church in service, one of the service responsibilities of the church is we are worshipers. Amen? And we worship God. And it's a not just a individual thing, it is a corporate thing. As the body of Christ, we worship God. And so the church is a place of worship. And that is an important aspect of the service that we render to God. We worship Him. In our sermon today, sermon number 5, the church and its service, write this down. We are a community. We are a community. Let me start by saying this. Community and being a community is absolutely important. People that don't understand this particular service usually don't understand why it's important to attend church. And so we're going to look at this important designation for the church, community. But community is not the most important. Community, you may want to write this down, community is the result of a church that is Christ-honoring, Christ-exalting, worshiping, communing together. When we are fixed on Christ, we are a community. Let me say that again. When we are fixed on Christ as an individual and as a body, when we are fixed on Christ, that He becomes the center of our life and He becomes the center of our worship. He becomes the center of all that we do. When we are fixed on Christ, we come together fixed on Christ in community. It's a wonderful thing. Community is a wonderful thing. Let me define it for you. Community, a group of individuals banded together for a common goal with common interests and beliefs. A community is a group of individuals banded together for a common goal with common interests and beliefs. Let me show you how that works out for the church. Do we fit that definition? Well, let's look at it. We are banded together, all God's people said. Amen. Here, Romans 12, 4 and 5, many members, one body. There's a banding together at that point. Though we are individual members and we have individual gifts, they don't work apart from all the other gifts. They work in unison. And so we band together as the body of Christ. And so the first part of that definition is a group of individuals who have banded together. We are bound together because we are the body of Christ, Romans 12, 4 and 5. So that fits the definition, does it not? Secondly, We have a common goal. And what's the common goal of the church? Write this down: to bring glory to God. Ephesians 1:12. The common goal of the church is to bring glory to God. So we're banded together as the body. We have a common goal to bring glory to God. And we have common interests, all God's people said. Amen. Now, our interests changed when Christ came into our heart. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature or new creation. Old things are passed away. Some of those things that were interesting to you before you were saved lost their interest, lost their luster when you got saved. And the things you now are interested in, you may not have been interested in before you came to Christ. So now, as the body that is glorifying God, we have common interests, things that have to do with the Savior, with the Bible, with our services, become important to us, or they ought to be important to us, because they are things that we are interested in corporately. Common interests, common beliefs. We have a common belief. It's called the Bible. Amen. The doctrines of the Bible, or what we believe, are found in Scripture. They're not found in writings of some man or in some book you can buy from the Bible bookstore. That's not where we get our belief system. We get our belief system from the Bible. And those doctrines that we adhere to and that we hold strongly to, for instance, the doctrine of the deity of Christ. This church stands for that. And if you're a member here, you believe that. And if you believe that corporately, then you're believing that in community. Because we're banded together for the purpose of honoring God, glorifying God, praising Him, studying the Bible. So community is absolutely essential to the church. The church is the community of God. Amen? Now, how then is this community displayed? Or what do the responsibilities of being community look like? Amen? Well, Hebrews 10:25 gives us the first one. And Hebrews 10:25 says this: not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. By the time Hebrews was written, many believers had decided that it wasn't all that important to go to church. The manner of some was not to go, or to go on occasion. But Paul looked at that and said, no, that's not it. A community can't meet occasionally. It wouldn't be a community. You didn't have meetings, you didn't have organizations, you didn't have interests and goals that you wanted to look after and care for and discuss among yourselves. You need community, and you do that at church. And when we're gathered together here in this body, we are the church. So it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Write down, please, the first responsibility. How do we display our community? Here's a tough one. We show up, all God's people said. Amen. We show up. I don't come so I can show everybody how well I dress. We don't come so we can brag about some particular aspect of our lives. We come because it's important to come. We show up, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. This is not an optional statement. This is a statement of commitment based upon your commitment to one another. If I love you and I care about you and you care about me, then don't we want to be together? Amen? Community. In verse 24 and 25, they give us three standards or three responsibilities in this showing up thing. Listen to verse 24. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Then down at the bottom, we are to exhort one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Now, the day approaching has been applied to any number of things, from the coming of Christ to a particular important aspect of a meeting that they were having in this local locality at the time that this was written, to just meaning Sunday, today. As we see the day approaching, as we see that day coming, as we see the joy of assembling together. So, number one, it says we are to consider one another. Right by that, community is to be encouraging. In fact, it is encouraging. Community is encouraging. You ever had a bad day? I love going to church and seeing faces that I haven't seen all week, and hearing voices that I enjoy hearing, saying I love you to those that you love, giving a hug to those that you care about. There's something about that. Community is encouraging. That word consider means to care about or regard the interest of others rather than your own. Let each esteem others better than themselves. Similar kind of thought. But when you're considering here, it's talking about regarding others to the point that you want to be involved in their lives. All God's people come. You know, a lot of people, a lot of churches today, people just go to churches. They're not involved in anybody's lives but their own. It's the only life they're involved in. They almost never volunteer for anything. They almost never get involved in, like, caring for someone. God forbid. Well, one year, every year we did this, but at Thanksgiving time we gave out about 400 meals. I mean, a turkey or a ham, bag of potatoes, bag of lettuce and that kind of thing, the dressing for it, two pies. It was a complete meal. I don't remember all that's in it, but it was quite a complete meal. Then we deliver those to people who we knew were in need. 400 every year. I knocked on a door, and nobody answered. Nobody answered. I delivered some more and came back to that door, knocked on that door. And then I noticed a little notice that said, house is abandoned and it's been condemned, and on the house door. So I said, what do I do with this meal? I looked at a lady standing on her porch watching me go to and from that house. So I walked across the lawn carrying this big bag, and I said, ma'am, these folks aren't home. She said, no, they moved a long time ago. I said, well, you look like you need a nice meal. She said, for what? I said, for Thanksgiving. And she said, I don't have a meal. I said, do now. We gave her the meal. That's part of church work. That's caring for others. But now let's bring it back into the body. There are people here that have deep needs. I was just reading this morning about people that have needs, but they're afraid to share them for fear that people might not get it. If you're a real community, and we are, if we really love God, and we do, if we need the sharing, camaraderie, and bearing of burdens, and we do, then we need to be a community. Amen. Don't you see how important the community then is? I shouldn't miss a Sunday. If I'm sick, if you're in the death and dying class, I understand. But just because you don't want to come or you're too tired to get up, or these folks need you. Listen to me very carefully. These folks need you. I need you. I'm incomplete without you. And you're incomplete without each of these folks. You need the community. So we need to consider one another. Listen, community is encouraging because it allows you the joy of being around people at different stages of their faith. It's great to talk to somebody who's been saved for a long time, isn't it? They know so much. They have such a love for God. But those young believers that are new in Christ, they're so effervescent. They want to be here. And they let you know about it. And we have the joy of interacting with people at different stages of their faith in the community. It's a wonderful thing. So number one, we are to consider one another. Then number two, it says in verse 24, we are to provoke one another. Now, the word provoke today means different than it did then when it was written. The word provoke today means to stir somebody up and get them mad at you. And that's really not what this word provoke means. This means to stir them up through encouragement, all God's people said. In fact, it means challenging someone. It's exhorting them. It's stirring them up, provoking. And we are to encourage them, to provoke them to love and good works in the body. Amen? By your attendance on Sunday, you have the joy of encouraging one another toward love and good works. You challenge each other. You bring them to the point where they want to do something. Amen? Amen. If all you get is this challenge from me, you're missing it all. You're missing the most important part. That is the challenge you're to be to one another. What do you want to do this week for God? Well, get another brother or sister and go do it. Amen? We don't need a program for that. The programs are all here. You give a cup of cold water in my name, Jesus said. You do it to the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. All God's people said. The other day, my wife gets so mad at me when I give away money. I pulled into McDonald's Friday, early in the morning. I had left the house where we were staying at my daughter's house. And I went there about 7 o'clock to study till about 12 o'clock. And it's great, you can get a hamburger or a sandwich or something and go over in a corner where nobody's bothering you and study. It's wonderful. And so I did that. Then I went out to start my car, and it didn't. It just was no click. It just was not starting. That's what it sounded like. Wouldn't start. So I thought I better call my wife, tell her that we're not heading home right away. So anyhow, we called a towing company. They came to tow our car. The guy said, it's always best before we tow you to check and see if your battery's no good. I said, well, that's a thought. Puts jumper cables on it, starts right up. Then he tests the battery, and he said, the battery's no good. Right across the street was O'Reilly's auto shop. So I went over there. This guy was afraid to do it because it was a new car, and he didn't know if it wouldn't blow the whatever. I don't know. I didn't understand. So I went right around the corner to another place, tire place, and they went in, changed it, got it all done. Everything was fine. But that fella that stopped is going to get paid very minimal amount of money because he didn't tow us. So we weren't charged any towing cost. And so his pay wasn't going to be what it needed to be. And so we thanked him, and I handed him $20. And he looked at it, and he said, what's this for? I said, for you showing up. He said, what? I said, for you showing up, taking the time out of your day to show up. You ought to be with your family. But I'm so glad you showed up. And this is just my way of saying thank you. Well, he lit up like a Christmas tree. Really? I said, yeah. And he took it, put it in his pocket, left. And my wife said, he was already being paid. I said, well, a little bit of love goes a long way. It really does. We are to provoke one another, to encourage each other to love and good works. Number three, according to verse 25, we are to exhort one another. Now, this word means to challenge, means to motivate, all God's people said. Community is motivational. It motivates, it moves one another. We are to commit to exhorting one another, to be faithful to Christ, to the body, to our union together. We are to be challenging each other to assemble together so that we might be all that God wants us to be. And we look forward every week to Sunday. When that day approaches, we are gearing up to come to church. Amen? We are not trying to get through it so that we can go out to such and such a place and go home and rest. Monday through Saturday, you gear up. Amen? You ought to walk in here so pumped that you knock people over. Man, is he up today? He's excited today. He's on point today. There's nothing as discouraging as a hard week. It's difficult. And what's wonderful is you can come here and get refreshed. That hard week can go away because you're joining your community. These are like brothers and sisters. And we are brothers and sisters in Christ. Just love on one another. So number one, we show up. Number two, we fellowship, all God's people said. Now let me explain that. John 1:7 says, we have fellowship one with another. That phrase is one of the most unique phrases in all of the New Testament. Here's what it means if we are to say it in the vernacular. We resemble one another. All God's people said. Have you ever seen a man and woman married so long, have a dog, and even the dog looks like them? A man and woman resemble one another. And it's not so much I'm talking about the facial expression, but the attitude, the spirit, the love they exude, or the willingness they have to do things. They look like one another. Well, when it says we have fellowship one with another, it means we resemble one another. Well, who else would you want to have fellowship with? Somebody you resembled. Somebody who looked like you. Somebody who acted like you. Somebody who believed like you. We have the same God, our Father. We embrace the same religious views. We move toward the same end. We fellowship at the same table. Do you realize that the communion service is really just part of our fellowship? We're fellowshipping around the wonderful truth that Jesus spent his body and blood for us. And when we do this in remembrance of him. And as we're doing it, we're doing it as a community My son did something cool he told me about the other day. At communion service that Sunday, they had the regular preaching service, then they took about 5 minutes and they set up tables, eight to a table all over the auditorium. He has chairs in his auditorium. He moved all the chairs out, brought in, I don't know, 40 tables or 50 tables, and set up these tables with eight people around it with a common cup and a common broken bread, and then each had a small little plate. And then he went, walked through the communion service, and they each poured a little in their cup, put a piece of bread on their plate, and they each practiced the community of fellowship in the body around the tables. Isn't that a beautiful picture? That's a wonderful picture. Rather than just making an addendum to a service, we're fellowshipping. We're like one another. We want to do this. We want to be there. We want to see that happen. Then we exalt the same Lord. All God's people said. Did you get those five things? We have the same God. We embrace the same religious views. We move toward the same end. We fellowship at the same table. And we exalt the same Lord. Fellowship, all God's people said. So number one, we show up. Number two, we have fellowship. And number three, we give. A community needs financial care, all God's people said. Do you realize it has always been God's design that the body cares for itself through giving? It has always been God's design that the body cares for itself through giving. Old Testament, New Testament, doesn't matter. And I'm not so much pushing tithe here. I think that tithing is fine for folks. I believe in the New Testament that the way of giving changed because of the spirit of the heart of the people that got changed. Listen to this. Number one, we give to those things we love. Always is true. We give to those things we love. Christmas time comes around, you see your grandbaby sitting around the tree, and I say, tough luck for you, no gifts today. No, I love them. And so I give to the things I love. Hey, I love the church. I love the church. I give to the things I love. In fact, Jesus said it this way in Matthew, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The guy doesn't see the church as important as a new car or a place, another place to live or better quality suits or whatever it is. Then that is where his treasure is and that's where his heart will be. But if he loves the church and he values it greatly and he treasures how important the church is, then that's where his heart will be. Where your treasure is, let me say it again, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. We give to those things we love. Number two, in giving, get this one. In giving, we sacrifice. In giving, we sacrifice. What do you mean by sacrifice, Pastor? Write this down. If you don't write anything else down today, write this down. Sacrifice is giving up something you love for someone you love more. Let me say that again. Sacrifice is giving up something you love for someone you love more. We were trying to raise money for a new building. We had raised about $450,000. We need another $400,000. And so I asked the people to commit to that and pray about it. We didn't take any promises or any of that kind of stuff. We just asked them to spend a whole week praying about it. One guy in our church had a 65 Mustang, 2 plus 2, 289, bored out to 302. It was exquisite, to say the least. Red, black interior. I mean, it was one of those things that drove by, you looked at it. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? And he'd bring that every once in a while to church. But man, he didn't want people bouncing on it or sitting on the hood. He loved that car. Man, he loved that car. He came to church next Sunday and said, "Pastor, I sold my car." I said, "What?" He said, "Yes, sir, I sold my car." I said, "Why'd you do that?" He said, "So I could give to this offering. All the money that I got for my car, I'm giving to the offering." That is sacrifice. Giving up something you love for someone you love more. That's sacrifice. And giving is sacrifice. So we give to those things we love. In giving, we sacrifice. And here's the last thing. We commit to giving because of the example of Christ. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Do you know that 2 Corinthians 8 and 9 are all, those two chapters are completely about giving? They don't just have some things about giving. They are fully and completely about giving. The church at Thessalonica was poor as church mice. They did not have a dime to give because there was terrible persecution in Thessalonica. People weren't allowed to own things. They couldn't have property. They couldn't buy and sell. They had to get things from out of the city. They had nothing. And yet they took this incredible offering to send to the church at Jerusalem, who was suffering in an even greater way. And Paul came to Corinth and said, "Will you be willing to give?" And they said, "Absolutely, we will." Well, Corinth wasn't always the church that kept their word. So Paul sends two or three men to get the money from Thessalonica, and on their way to Jerusalem, stop by Corinth and collect it there so they could take the collection to Jerusalem. This whole passage is about that. Chapters 8 and 9. In chapter 8 and verse 9, the Bible says this: "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ." Do you know that? Do you know about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Amen? You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And listen to what it says in that context. "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Do you get that? Here's the example. Christ left heaven. Was there anything richer than that? Christ sat on the throne by God. Is there anything better than that? Christ had the worship of the angels. Was not that wonderful? Daily, they worshiped him. He had the comforts of a home, of a place that was there for the deity. And he left that to come to earth. There's no comparison whatsoever. It was a terrible condescension. Wait a minute, wasn't born in a palace as a king. He was born in a stable as a babe where they cared for cattle. He didn't own a home. He didn't have a living. He didn't even have a bed to sleep on. The Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head. He became poor. So poor that he went to the cross. Died on the cross. Paid your sin debt and my sin debt. He became poor so that we, through his poverty, him dying on the cross, coming to earth, offering himself for our, as our sacrifice, so that we might be redeemed, so that we might be rich. There is an example of giving that no one here can match. He left the example, and it was put in this context of giving that this verse stands out. It's like him saying to you, sitting by you, saying, "Hey, what are you going to do today? I gave everything. What are you going to give? What are you going to do? What is your giving going to look like?" Now, I know that giving is not the most popular subject to preach on. Amen? Many of you probably are thinking right now, why doesn't he get off that and go back to preaching? Well, because it's part of the community. A community needs financial help. And the only way we're going to get it is if we commit to community, all God's people said. This sermon is so important for us to get a hold on what it is that's important to us. Community. Community. God saved you to serve. God saved you to be in the body. God saved you to be part of this local assembly. We need to take care of it. Amen? Lord, help us all to commit in a greater way that we'll be faithful. We'll show up. We'll realize how important it is to be here for fellowship. We look like one another, so we want to be with one another. And then that we would practice giving in a way that would honor you and, Father, not to show others, but to be an example of Christ's love to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.